warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We'll continue in song, listening to Be Not Afraid by Kathy Glover and Shar Beck.
Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is fear, false evidence appearing real. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible, from Genesis, Revelation, Job, Psalms, Exodus, and Luke, and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Consider the ravens. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Consider the lilies, how they grow. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. By my God have I leapt over a wall. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. For by thee I have run through a troop. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. And from Science and Hope, Consciousness, where art thou? Christian scientific practice begins with Christ's keynote of harmony, be not afraid. Until the lesson is learned that God is the only mind governing man, mortal belief will be afraid as it was in the beginning, and will hide from the demand, where art thou? This awful demand, Adam, where art thou, is met by the admission from the head, heart, stomach, blood, nerves, etc. Lo, here I am, looking for happiness and life in the body, but finding only an illusion, a blending of false claims, false pleasure, pain, sin, sickness, and death. Would a mother say to her child, who is frightened at imaginary ghosts, and sick in consequence of the fear, I know that ghosts are real. They exist and are to be feared, but you must not be afraid of them. Children, like adults, ought to fear the reality which can harm them and which they do not understand, for at any moment they may become its helpless victims. But instead of increasing children's fears by declaring ghosts to be real, merciless, and powerful, thus watering the very roots of childish timidity, children should be assured that their fears are groundless, that ghosts are not realities, but traditional beliefs, erroneous and man-made. In short, children should be told not to believe in ghosts, because there are no such things. If belief in their reality is destroyed, terror of ghosts will depart and health be restored. The objects of alarm will then vanish into nothingness, no longer seeming worthy of fear or honor. To accomplish a good result, it is certainly not irrational to tell the truth about ghosts. The Christianly scientific real is the sensuous unreal. Sin, disease, whatever seems real to material sense is unreal in divine science. Physical senses and science have ever been antagonistic, and they will so continue till the testimony of the physical senses yields entirely to Christian science. How can a Christian, having the stronger evidence of truth, which contradicts the evidence of error, think of the latter as real or true, either in the form of sickness or of sin? All must admit that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that omnipotent truth certainly does destroy error. The age has not wholly outlived the sense of ghostly beliefs. It still holds them, more or less. Time has not yet reached eternity, immortality, complete reality. All the real is eternal. Perfection underlies reality. Without perfection, nothing is wholly real. All things will continue to disappear until perfection appears and reality is reached. We must give up the spectral at all points. We must not continue to admit the somethingness of superstition, but we must yield up all belief in it and be wise. When we learn that error is not real, we shall be ready for progress, forgetting those things which are behind. The grave does not banish the ghost of materiality. So long as there are supposed limits to mind, and those limits are human, so long will ghosts seem to continue. Mind is limitless. It never was material. The true idea of being is spiritual and immortal, and from this it follows that whatever is laid off is the ghost, some unreal belief. Mortal beliefs can neither demonstrate Christianity nor apprehend the reality of life. Red dragon, error, fear, inflammation, sensuality, subtlety, animal magnetism, envy, revenge. Revelation 12:3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. We may well be perplexed at human fear, and still more astounded at hatred, which lifts its hydra head, showing its horns in the many inventions of evil. But why should we stand aghast at nothingness? The great red dragon symbolizes a lie, the belief that substance, life, and intelligence can be material. This dragon stands for the sum total of human error. The 10 horns of the dragon typify the belief that matter has power of its own, and that by means of an evil mind in matter, the 10 commandments can be broken. The revelator lifts the veil from this embodiment of all evil and beholds its awful character. But he also sees the nothingness of evil and the allness of God. The revelator sees that old serpent, whose name is devil or evil, holding untiring watch that he may bite the heel of truth and seemingly impede the offspring of the spiritual idea, which is prolific in health, holiness, and immortality. Truth and love come nearer in the hour of woe, when strong faith or spiritual strength wrestles and prevails through the understanding of God. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. The words, cast unto the earth, show the dragon to be nothingness, dust to dust. Therefore, in his presence of being a talker, he must be a lie from the beginning. His angels or messengers are cast out with their author. The beast and the false prophets are lust and hypocrisy. These wolves in sheep's clothing are detected and killed by innocence, the lamb of love. To infinite, ever-present love, all is love, and there is no error, no sin, sickness, nor death. Against love the dragon warreth not long, for he is killed by the divine principle. Truth and love prevail against the dragon, because the dragon cannot war with them. Thus endeth the conflict between the flesh and spirit. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian Science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony.
All yours is the kingdom and the power. Yours is the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory forever.